I'm not happy, and I don't think I produce good work unless I am completely and 100% myself. Every time I try to be something that I think I'm supposed to be, it comes out flat. It takes forever to do. As soon as I stop it and say, I'm just going to be me, it just flows. And it's just, I am who I am. And it just looks the way it looks. And that's it. And I'm happy with it. And I can sleep at night.
Podcast is fuel for your mind and creative grind. Each week, my guests and I provide the skills for thinking bigger, overcoming adversity, and making an impact with your work.
What's going on? You're listening to episode 123 of the Perspective Podcast. My name is Scotty Russell of Perspective Collective, and I'm here to help you build a killer side hustle and elevate your brand outside your day job. At the end of each episode, I share a listener of the week, so stick around to figure out how you can get a shout out on a future episode in the show notes, as well as in the newsletter. Today is the day, my friends. Your Side Hustler's War Chest is available and ready for you to download for free. I've compiled six of the top most bucket of questions I've been constantly asked over the last 5 years of doing Perspective Collective, and I've funneled them into a single resource. And to be completely honest, I was planning on originally selling each one of these, you know, on the side, because I'm really focusing on building passive income, online business, instead of doing freelance this year. But I realized that this was the information that I really needed when I started off, and I had a lot of people openly share their knowledge and tips with me. And so you've been amazing, okay? You've been an amazing listener. You've been amazing at sharing the show with your friends and your following. So I would like to gift this to you to let you know that I'm listening and I'm forever grateful for your support. So what you're going to get, so inside this war chest at sidehustlerswarchest.com, you're getting the following six resources. The first up is six tips for making time to grind and execute your dream outside the day job. Number two is eight tips for growing an engaged online audience and building your personal brand. Number three is the top book recommendations for growing your business, breeding creativity, and sharpening your mind. Number four, your drawing essentials, tools, articles, and resources to elevate your process and craft. Number five, the best accessories and resources for your iPad, Apple Pencil, and Procreate workflow and designs. And finally, number six, painting murals 101, supplies, resources, inspiration, and the basics of pricing. I cannot wait to hear your feedback on how these or what other resources that you feel are missing that I can add to this later. So please don't hold back with your feedback. And if you find this war chest valuable, do me a favor, share this on social media and tag me like you do with the podcast episodes. You know, I'm always asking a favor for that too. And you know, I return the love. So, you know, I want to connect with you on this. So if it's brought you value, please tag me on the social webs and let me know what you like about it. Let me know what your favorite resource was. Again, this is all at sidehustlerswarchest.com. Share it with me. I want to know what you think and I want your feedback. Hope you enjoy it. Just know I love you. All right, that's it. When you're on your creative grind, it's important to get your hands dirty, make mistakes, and get lost in your work. This helps you develop your style, find your voice, and carve your niche that attracts work for commission and people to your artistic mission and vision. Someone who's been doing cool shit way before it was cool and unapologetically pours themselves into their work is John Contino. John's a designer, letterer, illustrator, and branding sorcerer in New York, conjuring up dope work for massive brands like Nike, Coca-Cola, my Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and AT&T, just to name a few, through his Contino Studio Agency. Today, John and I peel back the layers of what branding is, and most importantly, what branding isn't, as well as his illustration process and humbling backstory, creating good work that's true to yourself, being a design sponge outside of the internet, and turning your flaws into strengths, and a whole lot more. Seriously, this conversation is gold. If you need a boost to go the extra mile in showing your true self in your work, then this episode was expertly crafted for you. And before we get started, I need to give a huge shout out to today's sponsors. First up, we got Audible. Go and get yourself a free audiobook download, a 30-day free trial. Plus, you get to enjoy two Audible originals over at audibletrial.com/perspectivepodcast. There are hundreds of thousands of titles to choose from, and you're sure to get something that you'll enjoy. And today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at Retro Supply. Retro Supply is the leading provider of Illustrator, Photoshop, Procreate, and now Affinity Design resources to make your work stand out in a fraction of the time. Use promo code SCOTTY20, that's Scotty with the Y, to save 20% off all their design resources like brushes, actions, textures, and fonts. This even works on sale items and bundles over at retrosupply.co. Again, use Scotty20, never pay full price over there for your best design resources out. Cool. You can find the sponsored links as well as everything John and I talk about today in the show notes at perspective-collective.com/123. Let me know what you think of this episode by helping me spread the good word and John's message today by taking a screenshot of this episode or take a video of you working in the background and make sure you tag me and John Contino, on Instagram so we can connect and I can share the love back. It's because of you sharing the show with your friends and following that this show continues to grow, and I have mad love for you for doing it, so thank you so much. As always, keep an open mind and act on anything that inspires you today. Let's go. PC family, today I'm joined by John Contino on the show. Welcome to the Perspective Podcast. Dude, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. I'm glad you're finally doing better and we're able to connect. And I missed you at Creative South last year. I got to see your talk, but never got a chance to actually shoot the shit with you. So a couple of weeks we will be.
Yeah, no, it's sick. Yeah, we're going to be at Crop in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And last year at Creative South was sick. That was a crazy one, man. There was a lot of people there. It was nuts.
Yeah, do you do a lot of the conference keynote things or?
I only do the ones I want to do. I kind of try to stay away from the big ones.
Like the HAL conference or like an Adobe Max kind of thing?
They seem very impersonal to me. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. I might try one of these days. I've turned a bunch of them down. I don't like to do the conferences where it feels like everyone is there to either pat each other on the back and not learn anything, or the ones where it feels like ultra corporate and kind of like intimidating for people who want to learn something.
Crop is going to be dope. It's a little intimate setting. It's got this edgy punk hardcore little rock side to it. It's pretty dope.
That's my world.
For those who are crazy enough not to know who you are or your work, can you give us a brief Wikipedia page summary about yourself? And then we can just dive right into the meat.
I am first and foremost a graphic designer, probably best known for hand lettering, dating back to, well, forever for me, but for being known maybe like 10 years ago.
You were in the first wave. You're the OG. And I feel like I'm on that second wave of lettering that came in.
Yes. Right. Well, because it's one of those things where it's like, I did it for years and years and years and years. And I would always try to sell it. No one ever wanted it. I tried to give it away for free. No one ever wanted it. And by the time people actually started to like that, I had, you know, years of experience of doing things like that. So I already had a full portfolio of lettering and whatever. I grew up around graffiti artists and shit like that. And of course, playing in like punk and hardcore bands and stuff. And that was always a staple of design. So that's kind of how people got to know me. And then eventually I made my way back into basically just being a graphic designer and eventually creative director. And now I run a studio, called Contino.
Real original, dude. No.
I didn't even name the company, man. I just bought it. I don't know. It was an accident.
Inherited.
No. Yeah. So that's my, I don't know, elevator pitch, I guess.
Word. So the homie Patrick McCormick, he wants to ask you to go back to the early days of your career. We want to go way back because he's like, he says he's been on a long road to get to where he is. And I want to piggyback off that and talk about going from freelance to your full-time agency of Contino Studio. So let's take it back.
Well, mine is an interesting, I have an interesting path because I started freelancing in high school before I really knew what freelancing was. I was
like logos, tattoos, t-shirts or?
Also, and especially being in bands and stuff like that, people were just like, hey, can you make this for me? And I'd be like, yeah, $50. Can you do this for me? Yeah, $100. Yeah, $25, whatever. I would make money that way. And I didn't realize that was like a thing. So that's kind of where I started, you know? And then all throughout college is when I really was working as a freelance designer, you know, like for real. I was doing record layouts and promotional design and logos, and it was real freelance work, you know.
So while you're in school,
yeah, while I was in school,
hustling.
And it was by the time I kind of graduated high school, I had already started doing that. So when I started looking at colleges and shit like that, like I didn't think about like art schools because I didn't look at myself like an artist. I looked at myself as a designer who laid things out and could make certain things look nice, but it was always for a purpose. So I never really thought to even go to art school because I didn't think I was an artist. I just thought I was a guy that made things look nice. You know, it was like very utilitarian. But by the time I was in college, I understood the difference of what it was. And then by the time I left college, I decided I had no use for a company to work for. I was just going to go out and do it on my own. Did it on my own for a little bit, figured out it was really hard to be a freelancer by yourself. And then I worked at two small agencies combined over the course of like maybe 8 months, 10 months, something like that. And after like 8 or 10 months, I was just like, okay, I'm ready to go back and try this again. Went out, started a studio called 126, and a good friend of mine, Matt Gorton, who ended up becoming a partner in the studio, came on. Then we jumped from the studio to a clothing company called CXXVI, which is a lot of where the hand lettering and all that kind of stuff started to flourish because it was my own business. So I didn't have anyone to tell me no anymore. So that was like 2008, 2009 or so. That company picked up for a little bit. We got a lot of press because of we were very Americana, handmade, blah, blah, blah. It was right when that was all starting to become a thing. So we were one of the only brands doing that at the time. And then when I started to see that people were really into it, I again made a separate portfolio just for me of only the stuff I like to do. Illustration, hand lettering.
Showing the work you want to attract. That's like the theme of everybody asking, how do I get this kind of work? Like that.
Because when we had the studio, we were just trying to get work. We were just trying to build a studio. So we were just like, we'll do your brochures, we'll do your websites, we'll do you this, that, the other thing.
I'll do your business cards.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's what we did. We just wanted to make money, you know? And anytime something cool came in, it was not paying. It was always just like pennies, or we were doing it for free just to make ourselves either feel better about what we were doing or to make our, you know, flesh out our portfolio to look better than it was. But once I started doing cool stuff and I was just like, fuck it, I'm just going to show it. I started showing only what I wanted to do. And that's when agencies started to take note, other clients started to take note, and people started to hire me for the things that they saw me doing. So I had CXXVI, I had other client work, and then eventually that snowballed into a bigger freelancing career. And then after a while, I was just like, I hate being pigeonholed as like a lettering person because it wasn't, that was only a one piece of the puzzle of what I did, you know? And I was just like, I've always been kind of a bigger picture type of person. I was like, I need to get back into that. So then I started slowly, you know, teaching clients that this was more than that.
Like in terms of branding and illustration and lettering is just one of the weapons of your disposal.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I get, it was either last year or I think it was either last year, or the year before something, we kind of made the announcement, like a soft announcement that this was like an agency, like a studio agency. And then this year, last year, we kind of made it official. So I have, you know, a few people that I work with and my creative direction, like I've always been more of like a creative directing type of person. You know, I'm working with photographers and video people, motion people. I mean, you name it, like fashion, you know, hair, stylist, whatever. Like I've always kind of been that bigger person. And that's what I do on a daily basis and have been for years now. But, you know, there's only certain things sometimes that people will be able to appreciate via social networking and shit. Like you can't really share what being a creative director is in a social media setting where it's the type of thing where people want to look at it, you know?
Yeah. And dude, your site, Contino Studio, is dope as hell. So I work full time as UI UX designer, I live in the web world. And I love just fucking around with those hover animations on everything. Just those custom little hand-drawn GIFs on everything. Like, that's dope. That's so dope.
That was one of those things too, because when I was working on the new site, it was just like, you know, it's time that people really have a greater understanding that this is more than just fun illustration and fun lettering and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, when you try to design something for, I don't know, like a greater corporate sensibility, everything always gets dumbed down and it's not interesting anymore.
You play it safe.
Yeah. And I was doing that for like a year. Like this site was like 2 years in the making. And then finally I was just like, forget this. It's not me. It's not who the studio is. It's not what this world is. And I scrapped the whole thing that I was working on for like 2 years and just built this site in like, I don't know, a couple weeks. And I was like, this is so much more.
Even all those animated GIFs, like for the hover transition effects, that's just all in a couple weeks.
It was like, those were like 2 days.
It makes me hate everything about my site right now.
But you know what it is? It's like, and this is something I've learned over the years of failing over and over again. And I'm not happy, and I don't think I produce good work unless I am completely and 100% myself. Every time I try to be something that I think I'm supposed to be, it comes out flat. It takes forever to do. As soon as I stop it and say, I'm just going to be me, it just flows. And it's just, I am who I am. And it just looks the way it looks. And that's it. And I'm happy with it. And I can sleep at night.
Who are you?
I don't know, man. Who am I? I'm a guy that adapts to his surroundings, because a lot of the stuff that you see from me is always very raw. It's very kind of emotional. It's very, nothing is straight. Nothing is clean. It's always just kind of like, it's the roughest. It's just kind of who I am as a person, you know, even down to the line. You know, I physically cannot draw a straight line. I have a shaky right hand. So instead of just like trying to figure out how to make something clean, I lean into my, used to consider a negative, and I turned it into a positive. So it gives me kind of like a unique look of things looking a little shaky, you know?
That's dope, because I get so obsessed by straight lines that I have a hard time letting go.
Right. The greatest thing I ever learned was that you got to let go, and you just got to like go with the flow, you know, like whoever you are, whatever you are, you need to just embrace it. And I think everyone has kind of like X amount of strengths. We might all have equal amounts of strength, you know, but certain people are scared of certain things about themselves and perceive it as a negative, which it could be a negative for most of your life. You know, like you could have like an addictive personality. You could be a drug addict for most of your life, but you might not realize that maybe that certain part of your personality, if you're able to kick the drug habit and turn that addictive part into something positive, could be like the biggest strength that you've ever had. You could turn your life around and just be like this insane, like, I don't know, like stock person who didn't realize that they were like insane with math. And now you're a billionaire in like 6 weeks.
Put it all in Bitcoin for sure.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of things where it's just like, and you know, maybe that's an extreme example, but there's like, you know, there's parts of your personality, parts of who you are, parts of what you look like, how you act, all the, like, how you talk, like all those things that can become strengths. It's just a matter of whether or not you can understand that there is a positive there instead of a weakness.
Damn. Yeah. That's definitely going to hit home with people. That's the theme of the show, is show up, be fucking weird, embrace your shit, wave your freak flag, and attract other like-minded freaks. That's sick. Just to come back into your process. So Charlie Jeffrey, he wants to know, what is your main process? Some of your work looks more refined, as in created in Illustrator or Procreate, and some of it looks more hand-drawn and scanned. What method do you use and why?
Okay, so up until 2016.
All analog and scanning?
Everything was analog and scanning. My wife got me an iPad Pro and an Apple Pencil for Christmas 2015, right when they came out.
Whew.
And I was just like, oh, this is awesome. I can't wait to play around with it. I sat down and drew with it. And I was just like, I can't draw on this fucking thing. You know, it's just like.
And that's before they like became on steroids in like the last couple of years, where it really took off.
But I wanted to. So what happened was, I ended up having to travel for work, and I was designing a layout for this really big thing. It was like, it was this big beer package that was, it had like 25 bottles of beer in it from all around the world. It stood about 2 or 3 feet tall. It's tremendous. It's supposed to be a big display piece, you know? Normally, whenever I worked on layouts, I would print out the layouts. I would tape them all together. I would do all my sketches. I would undo the tape. I would scan it. I would piece it back together. So I'm sitting there. I'm just like, wait a second. What if I just drop the layout in Procreate, this new app on this new machine that I have, and see if I can pinch and zoom, and if it looks any good, maybe that will work. And God damn it, it fucking works.
It saved you hours of time, I bet.
Hours, saved me days. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, it looks like real pencil. And I'm like sending it to the client. I'm like, what do you think of this? And they're like, oh yeah, it looks great. And I was like, no, but what do you think about like the pencils? And they were like, I don't know, the drawings are good. And I'm like, yeah, but do the pencils look real to you? And they're like, are they not real? And I'm like, nah, they're not real. It's the iPad. And they were like, oh, cool.
This is a digital pencil, bitch.
Yeah, like they didn't care. But like at the same, I'm sitting there, I'm just like, yo, this shit looks real. It's unbelievable. And once I kind of figured out, I had a friend who was developing like brushes for it and stuff. And he was like, here, I made some test ones based on your line work. And it looks just like my ink. So then I was just like, started to become obsessed. because then you know how it is in the digital age, man. When you sit there, even when you're drawing with a pen or a Sharpie or something, you make a mistake. The first thing you think is Command Z.
Dude, I've been on the Procreate so much lately. Like I'm working on a chalkboard piece or I'm working on just some custom lettering for a client or something. And I keep double tapping the screen trying to pinch and zoom on an area. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get back to analog. See, I was so romanticized by analog. It was late 2017 where I finally got the iPad. I'm like, let's see what this is. And I'm like, oh my God, I paid for itself within a first mural, just mock-up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so funny too. Cause like when you get into it, like it actually started to make me better because a lot of times I would get frustrated with my process and just be like, it's good. It looks good. Like I had to learn when to say enough's enough. But with this, it's so quick to be able to undo, straighten out, adjust without losing any of that momentum that you have going on or any of that, you know, like that aesthetic that you're building. And you can continue it without having to kind of ruin, you know, like the look that can only come from, you know, the first stroke on a page.
So how much of your work right now, percentage-wise, is digital and how much is that analog scan method?
100% digital.
Oh, shit. So how do you get your rough effect? Are you actually drawing that shit rough or are you like polishing it up in like Illustrator or Photoshop with like a rough effect?
No, everything is based on... So that one brush that a friend of mine made for me, where it has... It's basically kind of based on... Like a 0.8 micron.
Okay. Okay. So a little bit thicker with some flow to it.
Exactly. That's what it's based on. And then based on the type of drawing that I want to, I adjust the flow or I adjust the jitter or whatever. But that's basically it. You know, I mean, actually I'll say like there is like a 0.05% when I really need an analog look that I still can't figure out how to do digitally. If it's like a watercolor brush or something like that, it's not getting the drip, it's not getting the splatter, the randomness that I really want, then I go back to analog. But besides that, if I'm just drawing kind of like straight graphic lines, it's all iPad all day.
Damn. And some might call it cheating. I used to call it cheating until I started doing it. I'm like, oh, no, let's work smarter, not harder. I got a kid, a podcast, a job, freelance. I get it.
There's no such thing as cheating. I think it's all these things are tools. You know what I mean? It's like, it's what you make of them. It's how you use them. People could say that it's cheating if you use a big fat, you know, like crink marker instead of a Sharpie to fill in the open areas.
I do feel like I'm cheating when I'm using like a stippling brush.
All it is just, you're just being more efficient. You know what I mean? If you can get more done in less time, it's efficiency because in the end, it doesn't matter if you are going to sit there and stipple or if you're going to use a Photoshop action or you're going to use an Illustrator like swatch pattern or something. Like when it's done, it's done. No one's going to care how you did it.
Especially the client doesn't care. They just want the final product.
What does it look like when it's done? That's all that matters. The only way that it's cheating is if you're stealing from somebody.
Word.
That's it.
Stealing someone else's way for sure. What's like a typical day look like in the Contino studio atmosphere?
My dog usually wakes me up about 6 o'clock in the morning to go out, which sucks in the winter time in New York.
I get it. I'm Iowa. I get
it's not good. It's not good.
My cats don't go outside, so I'm good on that.
I got to teach my dog how to use a litter box.
Yeah.
and then, you know, I have a 6-year-old, so she has to get up and get ready for school. So my wife and we both get up at like seven or so. Get up, the school stuff starts getting ready. And, you know, like as you age, these things change. Like it used to be impossible to wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now I can't imagine sleeping past 8.
8 o'clock is like super sleeping in for me now. Yes.
So by the time it all is said and done, we drop off at school. Then I just sit down right away. Sit down and then I'm there. I eat lunch at my desk, which... I feel like is probably more common than people want to admit.
Is everyone in-house that works for you or is it remote at all?
So the only people who are in-house are my wife and me.
Wow. Okay.
So the two of us are in-house. One designer is in Canada, Brent, who also co-hosts a podcast with me. You know, two of my business managers are in Chicago. My project manager and my media person are both in Manhattan. And you know, so we're in the Hudson Valley now. When my daughter was born, we moved out of the city, bought a house. I built a studio on the back of the house. So we're still only an hour out of the city, and I'm still there all the time, but now I'm here, so I'm not kind of like stuck on the train or whatever, and I can be around for my family. So that was the idea. So, but everybody, yeah, no, everybody is, we're all scattered out. And then anytime we work with freelancers and stuff like that, to me, no one has to come in. Everyone can work remote, because I just feel like I feel better about people being comfortable in their surroundings.
Especially creative work, you know, like get in that flow state.
Well, like, you know how it is, like when sometimes when someone's like, there's a freelancing position that's in-house and it's like 2 months or it's 2 weeks or it's whatever. It's just like, okay, you gotta screw up your whole, you know, like everyday kind of like routine that you're in. You go in, and then once it's over, then it kind of like sometimes feels like you lost a job, you know? And that I don't like that. I like to fit better into other people's schedules and let them feel like they're being more productive that way. I don't care if they're working at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the morning, as long as they get done what they have to get done. It doesn't matter to me, because I'm up 24 hours a day anyway. None of that matters. As long as you do what you're supposed to do and you're in communication, you know, I'm happy. So I like everyone to be as comfortable as they can. So that's why I decided to kind of keep this more of a remote type of thing. And let my people be where they're most comfortable and just kind of roll with that. And it's worked out really well.
Do you guys operate with like Slack or?
No, you know, it's so funny. I tried to implement that. And it's so funny because no one who's on the team wants to have anything to do with Slack. There's a lot of clients that I work with that are all like, join our Slack channel, blah, blah, blah. And it's fine. But like with us, like, we're like text message, email, phone call. We're like really
iMessage up on your Macs or anything like that.
Yeah.
Whatever works, man.
That's all it is. It's all it is. Cause we, and you know what we use actually? And this is one that a friend of mine introduced me to. This is a program called Notion. And we use it as kind of it's kind of project management, but it also keeps track of everything. So number one, keeps track of projects, keeps track of media schedule, keeps track of press, keeps track of our to-dos. I mean, literally everything.
Like an Asana or Reich on steroids or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. But because you can basically develop it to create a system molded to however you work. It has like spreadsheets that you can build in, but you can also style them so they're not just spreadsheets. Like instead of having numbers in one, you can put names and then you can link names to another thing. So it's like you can basically create an entire database around how you work. And this has been kind of like the core of our business for a little while now.
What is your like favorite type of projects to bring in? Just big ass branding, or, you know, what's your ideal client or what's your ideal project?
I do like big ass branding. I do. The more
like
people
big like asses.
Yeah. Yeah. Like elephants.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah, I like, the really big ones I really enjoy because it gives me the opportunity to bring in lots of different people that normally we don't get to work with on other things. So like when we did the branding for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's my squad.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
And I'm also a Yankees fan too. And I hate everything Boston in my life. So inherited Yankees fan.
This is going very well so far.
I'm a Lakers fan too. I just hate, I hate all Boston, all New England, all that.
I love it. I love it. That's perfect.
Yeah, I need to see the Tampa Bay stuff. I need to see that.
So when we did that, it was great because I got to hire the photographer that I wanted, a guy named Marcus Smith, who's amazing. We got to hire the video team.
What was the project? Where can I see it? Is it on your site?
No, it's not on the site yet. So basically, we rebranded the entire franchise except for the logo and the uniform, which are under contract.
Yeah, you didn't do the numbers, those fucking weird numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was definitely a discussion. But there's like, you know, there's like Nike contracts, there's NFL contracts, there's also.
I didn't know you did my team. Shit, I didn't know that, man.
If you go to the stadium, it's the entire stadium. Raymond James is entirely decked out. The city of Tampa is entirely decked out.
Dude, that's so dope. What about anything on the ship too in there?
That's a phase two.
That's a phase two. Dude, that's so sick. You just became my hero, man. Our squad sucks, though. Like, damn.
Well, that's why, I mean, that's why we came in. We came in to kind of like bring some, you know, breathe some new life into the team.
When did this drop? Like within the last year or two?
This season.
Okay.
This past season was the first season for it. So if you've seen any of their social media.
Yeah, all of it. One of their graphic designers actually like went to UNI, University of Northern Iowa, just in my backyard. So he's a designer there.
Yeah. I worked with the whole team. They were awesome. Like that was part of the thing too, is, you know, what's really funny too, is a lot of NFL teams do not have a design department. They'll have like one person. They'll bring one person in or two people in. It's unbelievable. A lot of pro sports teams do not have a design department like you would imagine. And the Buccaneers are different. They actually do have a design team. They have several designers, motion designers, but it was cool to be able to go in there and sit down with the team. And we got to talk together. What works for you guys? What doesn't work for you guys? And, you know, we would come, you know, I would come back to New York, and, you know, I had some other team members too that were in Chicago that would do kind of like, you know, like trying to figure out the marketing, the strategy, like some of the bigger stuff, where it's just like, well, how do we make a giant skull roll in and shoot flames at things without burning down the stadium? Like all that type of stuff. But it was great to be able to work in, you know, in unison with the team, get kind of like the internal suggestions. And we did a lot of, you know, interviewing of season ticket holders, and we talked to the general manager, like all this type of stuff where it was just like, let's discuss what it means to be this team, how we can help to make this team better so that when they go on the field, they feel pumped up, they feel energized. The people in the crowd feel like they're representing like really cool stuff. You know, like it was definitely like a big, beautiful project. And to be able to kind of like handpick the team members that we needed to outsource for the project was great, because it was just like, I would write up a brief and I would say, here, this is what I need. And I knew exactly what I wanted.
I want to take a second to give a huge shout out to Audible. And with Audible, I have a prospective podcast listener only deal for you. And I talk about my love for audiobooks over and over and over and over again here. And today is a golden opportunity to get started if you haven't yet, or create an account just to get started, get your free book. But you can get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial by visiting audibletrial.com/perspectivepodcast. Go get your free audiobook and use it on something like The Alchemist. I talk about my love for that. I've made episodes on it before. Or go nerd out. I'm also a huge junkie on Game of Thrones, so I have binged the whole Game of Thrones audiobooks twice. And so if you want to lead up to the April 14th day of this drop-in for new Game of Thrones, then jump on that too. All kinds of good stuff, and I'll have a whole book resource coming out soon. But again, I'm rambling. That's audibletrial.com/perspectivepodcast. Jump on that free audiobook now. You're welcome. It's a question I already kind of wanted to ask you, but that speaks volume to what actually branding is. Not everybody who's listening knows what branding is. They think it's just a logo, but I feel like you kind of just summed it up. Like, what is branding to you, since you brand by hand and that's your business? What is branding to you?
What is the visual of telling a story? It's always about telling a story. It's not about a logo. It's about telling a story. It's about making people understand the message you're trying to sell, the product you're trying to sell, the community you're trying to begin. How do you get people, you know, into it? And this comes down to like custom fonts, custom illustration, custom photography, custom video, custom furniture, custom walls, custom ceiling, custom grass. Like literally everything is part of an experience. And it's like, we have to define what the experience is. And it's not just a logo. It's not just a color. It's not just a tagline. It's all those things.
It's how you make them feel.
Yes, exactly.
What people are saying when you're not around. What are they saying about your brand? Yeah.
It's emotion. It's what is the emotion that you feel when you're there? And for a football team, you want to feel hyped up. You're energized. You want to feel aggressive. You want to have fun. You want to, you know, feel camaraderie. You want to feel like you can turn around to the stranger next to you and high five when something happens, even though you could be two totally different types of people from two totally different parts of the world, and just feel like you're united in this one singular event that you're both experiencing simultaneously. And then as a sports franchise, that's supposed to be something that binds you together, where then you leave with a Bucks hat and he or she leaves with a Bucks hat, and then you see each other in a week or a month or a year or a decade, and you got the same old ass hat on that's all torn up, and you have that memory together, and it's something that you both share, you know? And it's all about kind of just like making these experiences turn into memories, turn into preferences, and then those preferences help shape kind of who we are as people, because we all have favorite brands, favorite music, favorite movies, favorite TV shows. And that's all this shit is. It's just over and over again. How do you tap into that and how do you turn it into something?
It's perfect. Funny story. So like there's no Buccaneer fans in my area of Iowa. Of course, everybody's like Bears or Vikings, all the teams I fucking hate. But anyway, so I'll be in like Walmart and I'll see one person wearing a Buccaneers hat and my wife's like, oh fuck. And she'll like, and I love to talk to people. I talk. So I instantly have this weird connection with this random person across the store and I'm like, hey, go Bucks. But that's branding.
This is the funniest thing too, because when those types of things happen, so like when I started college, I had, you know, at the beginning of college, you have college orientation where you go there and there's just 1,000 strange people that you've never seen before and you hope to never see again. And you're just like, how am I going to possibly make a friend with any of these people? My thought was, I was into hardcore music. I wore a hardcore band t-shirt that was relatively obscure at the time. I figured if I was going to make any friend at all, it was going to be someone who recognized my shirt, knew what it meant, and wanted to talk music. And that's what happened. And I met this one girl who ended up being the girlfriend of my friend Matt, who I started all those businesses with. And we all became like lifelong friends. We're friends for 20 years now.
That's waving your freak flag.
That's right. I wore a t-shirt. That's all it was, you know? It's like a flair. You know, it's just like, does anyone want to be my friend?
That's hilarious. I'm sure there's going to be somebody there at Crop if you wore some type of shirt like that again. There's some hardcore people there. I'm going to get back on track real quick. One more question. Adam Vicarell, the homie, does John pull reference material? Does he have all those styles locked up in his dome?
There's definitely reference material.
Like old books or something like that?
I mean, I'm sitting in a studio full of books. But a lot of it is just, it's more of like I look around. And there's definitely things that are references that I try to pull from. But I think the majority of it comes from more of like the experience. And especially like growing up in New York, like I have never been able to get away from design. You know, whether it's graffiti, museums, advertisements, like you name it, it doesn't matter. Like there was always something to look at, from the lowest quality to the highest quality. It was always interesting because it's always jammed next to each other. You go to like the shittiest street in Manhattan with like all like covered in lowlives, you know, like there's still really cool, beautiful stuff happening there, whether it's the architecture or even the clothes. Like you don't have to be rich to be wearing cool clothes.
Thrift stores got some dope stuff.
Exactly. You could just be like a broke kid that just can't afford anything. And you just get like some random like Van Halen t-shirt or something. But you look at like the VH and you're just like, oh shit, that logo's awesome. You know, like there's a lot of that. And I find more and more inspiration from seeing, you know, like what people choose to do, how people choose to conduct themselves, how people choose to kind of like, you know, express themselves, you know, all those types of things. I kind of get more from that. And then I kind of think about the setting that I see these things in and what are the signs that are around them when I'm seeing this? What's the music that's playing in the neighborhood? Or what's the, you know, like, what are the ads that are going by on the taxis or something like that? You know, like, there's all, like, these little bits and pieces that really create a very rich and vibrant world that, to me, is a better way to kind of, like, pull inspiration rather than just, like, going on Pinterest or Instagram or opening up a book sometimes and just kind of like, you know, like running your finger down the page and be like, I like this, I like this, I don't like this. I'm going to copy those things. You know, I think it's more about figuring out the setting and then taking the elements from the setting and then bringing that into the work.
That's dope, man. Basically, a true artist and designer is a fucking sponge. You're just a sponge soaking it all up, whatever's around. Like I got my wife now calling out shitty logos as we drive down the street or be like, that needs better kerning in between those two. Or like, we won't even rent movies if it's bad, like titles. So got her trained up.
Yeah. I mean, dude, that's what happens when you live it. You can't avoid it. And that's like something I always talk about too. Like a lot of times you see like people, you know, talking about how, you know, we shouldn't be working 24 hours a day and we should be enjoying life outside of work and blah, blah, blah. But like, I don't look at this as work. Like this is
play.
Yeah, it's what I love to do. It's what I've always loved to do. I've always
wanted to turn it off.
No.
I get it. Totally get it. When you live it, it's everywhere. But like, why would you want to turn it off?
If I'm at the beach and I'm laying down on a blanket, and I got my elbows underneath my chest, and I'm just kind of like just chilling, like the sun is on my back, and I'm just like loving life. What is the first thing I start to do? I start drawing in the sand.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I
start looking up at a cloud and be like, wow, that's a fat, chunky bell-bottom script A looking at me right
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
All right. Oh, one more question before we go into death row, dude. I feel like I could just go Joe Rogan with you real quick, smoke a bowl and go for 3 hours and just shoot the shit. What's one piece of advice you give to your past self when you were just starting off?
Keep doing what you're doing. Because I think, you know, I made so many mistakes that if I didn't make those mistakes, I wouldn't know to correct them in the future. You know what I mean? So if I went back in time and I was just like, yo, don't do this. Don't trust this person. Don't accept money from this person. Don't do this. Make sure you write a contract for that. Blah, 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 blah. You know, like if I didn't do those things, I would never have learned them the hard way. And I would never have remembered to do them in the future. Because to me, I learn better from negative reinforcement than positive reinforcement. You know what I mean? Like if someone pats me on the back and says, good job, I'm not even going to remember what the hell I did that they said good job for. If someone looks at me and tells me I really suck for doing something like that, you better believe I'm going to remember what they told me I sucked for. You know what I mean? So like, I look back and I say, I did it right because I made my mistakes and I wasn't scared to make my mistakes. And I continued to make mistakes, but I continued to learn from the mistakes. And I wasn't so proud that I couldn't admit that I wasn't perfect. You know, as much as it was difficult for me to admit when I was wrong, deep down inside, I knew that when I fucked up, that it meant that I shouldn't do that again. You know, it meant that I had to do it better next time. And every time that happened, and it was a lot, I kept learning from it and learning from it and learning from it. So those were the best learning experiences ever. I'm glad I did it. I don't know if I could tell myself to do it any better way. When people ask me now, that's the advice that I give them. It's just like, make mistakes, learn from your mistakes, you know, be embarrassed, be sad, be depressed, be terrified, you know, like be all those things because you don't want to feel that again. Learn how to not feel like that, you know, experience them and learn how to get rid of them and learn how to avoid them.
Make mistakes and find the lesson.
Yeah.
All right. Rapid fire so I can respect your time. We got some fun ones and then I want to dive into some other ones that people can support you with. If you were on death row, what would your last slice of pizza be?
Plain.
Just cheese?
That's it.
Anywhere specific?
There was a great pizzeria down the block when I used to live in Brooklyn that is closed now. This place, Carmine's, was delicious, delicious pie. But like, it's gone now and I don't live there anymore anyway. So like, whatever.
All right. Hey, crap, in Baton Rouge, downtown where we're all kind of located, there's this place called Schlitz and Giggles.
Yeah.
It's the shittiest, best tasting pizza ever. I will get you a plain whatever you want. You got to
believe it. I don't believe it.
You got to have a slice of pizza with me there.
It's not New York pizza, so it's going to suck.
Yeah, but it's so bad, it's good. It's like that shitty square pizza you had in the cafeteria that was just so bomb at the same time.
No, it was garbage. It was garbage.
I know, I haven't had anything in New York, but I've been to Italy and I've had pizza there in Naples. So I can say I've experienced pizza.
That is different pizza, though. New York pizza and Italian pizza, very different, very different.
I don't like it, actually.
Dude, that's a funny thing, too. New York Italians and Italy Italians, very different, very different. Like people who, especially people in New York who aren't Italian, will make fun of New York Italians for being like fake Italians because we say things differently. We're just like the weird, like trashy version of like Italy Italians.
All right, when I'm in New York, I will count on you to direct me to the right place to get a slice.
You got it.
All right. If you could have lunch with one person dead or alive, who would it be and why?
My grandmother.
Okay.
Like if I got to talk to my grandmother now, because my grandmother was extremely supportive of me when I was a kid. She was there in really tough times. She took care of me when, you know, my parents had, you know, my younger brother has Down syndrome. And when he was younger, especially in the early 80s, that was a very difficult thing to overcome. He had heart problems and all this kind of stuff. Thank God he's healthy now. But like my grandmother, she took care of me for the most part. She helped, you know, really nurture my love of art and everything like that. And unfortunately, she passed away about a month after my daughter was born. And my daughter is like just like her. You know, she's like so much like her. And I feel like if I were to sit down, I would want to sit down and talk with her, tell her what I've been doing, tell her what I'm up to, tell her what my daughter is like, you know, like all those things. That's, if anybody, it would be her, I think.
That's a good answer, man.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your go-to lettering weapon of choice? Analog. You can't say Apple Pencil on this one.
Analog is a Micron.
Word. Say.
08.
Those fat chunky flows. Got it.
The one is actually my favorite.
The graphic one. For like filling?
Yes, that's my favorite. I'll draw with that. That is actually my number one. But sometimes they're hard to find.
Yeah. I have to go buy and buy singles on Amazon. But that brush pen is really hard to tame from Micron in my world.
Yes, I love it though.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple of things that people can support you by. So let's talk about your book, Brand by Hand. I'm sure you've been blown up about it, so I just want to touch on it. Explain what this book is about, what people can expect, and where can they buy it. I know it's through Abram Books. It came out on October 23rd, 2018. I did my research.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I always wanted to do a book like this. I kind of thought I would have to be dead before a book like this would be made. But thankfully, thanks to John Gwall and Abrams, they came to me. They had the idea of doing it. And of course, I was psyched on it. So what it is, it took us 2.5-3 years to really figure out how to put this book together in a way that felt right. And what we decided on was kind of like tying in inspiration and design. So it talks a lot about the things that I feel most inspired by, but it's not just like types of lettering and types of illustration, and types of design. It's about kind of like core elements of my life, you know, that I've found to be most inspirational. So it's just like family, baseball, like the notion of fear, horror movies, hardcore music, all sorts of things like that. New York, just in general. And then with each chapter, there's kind of an essay about how that had an impact on me. And then following the essay, there's a bunch of work that is related to that particular inspiration. So you can kind of see how those feelings kind of, bubble up and turn into something a little bit more tangible.
Dan, where can people get it?
You can get it at any bookstore. You can get it on Amazon, whatever, or you can get it direct from me at the studio at continobook.com, and you can get it signed. You can get this other merch, the stickers, pins, buttons, the whole nine.
Yeah, there's like a little deluxe bundle with it too.
Yeah.
Let's shift real over to the crop real quick for the keynote, but will you be having your book there? Do you have any copies there?
I'm going to try to. My schedule is always crazy, so I'm always like flying in and out, and I can never stay in one place longer than like 16 hours. I'm going to try to have copies there. If I can't...
Do you come in Friday and leave Friday?
Yeah. It's always just like a race against the clock.
What can people expect for your keynote?
A lot of honesty and a lot of F words.
Fuck yeah. Word. Yeah, I know there's going to be a lot of listeners there. So that's too bad that you're going to be gone, because I know you're going to get bum rushed, but that's all right. People can blow you up on social media.
Yes, as always. Yeah.
You're a fellow podcaster of the show, The Nose Knows. Here's a really shitty joke.
Do it. What do
you call a person with no body and just the nose?
John Contino? I don't know.
Nobody knows. That's bad, man. That's bad.
Oh, that's fantastic. I give you
shitty jokes and bad puns. Yeah, A+. Thank you for effort. The Nose Knows, where did the name come from? And what's the show about, and how can people listen?
You know, I got into podcasts super early. I really liked the idea of what a podcast was. And every design podcast at the beginning was like, it sounded like it might as well be like PBS or NPR or something. Which, not that it's anything wrong with that, but you can only listen to so much before you start to doze off. So like what I wanted to do was kind of like make it design centric, but just make it real. Like, you just like talk about real life, talk about like, it doesn't have to be design. It's more of like creativity and how a creative person lives. And we talk about things that bother us and, you know, like stuff that's, you know, like movies and shit like that. Just, like things that are just like, when you're sitting down at a desk next to a couple other designers, it's the stuff that you talk about then. So it's always just like, oh, you know, there's like 5% work. Then there's 10%, what'd you do on the weekend? Then there's 5%. It's all mixed in. It all has to kind of do with design and the business of design and everything. But it's also just kind of like life and how everything that we do kind of relates to it. And, you know, like, we're not just robots that come in, sit at a desk or stand at a desk, whatever is your preference. And, you know, you design for 10 hours straight and then you go home and you put on Netflix and you fall asleep. Like, that's not what we are. That's not what we do. Like, there's so much more to who we are as people. And it's just like, I just wanted to make it feel like, you know, we're sitting next to each other and we're just bullshitting when we're working on whatever, you know, like
just straight conversation, hopefully kind of like this, just shooting the shit.
Exactly.
Okay. Where can people listen? And when does it come out? What's your like frequency schedule?
So you can get it on every podcasting platform, or you can go to nosecast.com.
And your site for that is dope too, dude.
Yeah, oh, thanks, man. We were doing once a week.
It's a lot of work.
And yeah, it is a lot of work. We were doing pretty good for a while too. But you know, like when the big projects come in and then all of a sudden the all-nighters start piling up and all that kind of stuff happens. And then especially it was winter and then people get sick. And then it's like, if I'm not sick, someone else is sick. And then something else happens. And it's just like, you know, so we've been doing, I think, like every 2 weeks now. But, you know, I figure like a couple times a month.
Word.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Last thing, where can people go to find you online and support you?
Okay. So you can find me at John Contino, JonConTino. For some reason, people have a really hard time with my name.
There's like a silent J.
Yeah. And then ContinoStudio.com. That's where the studio stuff is. You can find everything there. And then if you really need to find everything that I do, you can also go to JohnContino.com. And it's basically just like a big landing page where you can find everything.
Dude, I appreciate you following back up with me, getting over the sickness and making this happen so we can drop it, get everybody hyped for your crop talk and your book, your podcast, all the cool shit, Tampa Bay Buccaneer branding, all of it.
Absolutely, man.
Everything. Fuck it.
Thanks for having me, dude.
All right. We appreciate you, man. Take it easy.
Thank you. You too.
Later.
Bye.
PC family, John Contino. John was an absolute champ in making time for this, and he did not disappoint. Definitely someone I want to have on again in the future, because I feel like we could have just gone for hours just shooting the shit and chatting, talking design, all kinds of great things. Man, he had a lot of life lessons tucked away in this, and I hope you found a lot of value in this. So do what you do best. If what John said today made an impact on you, please go blow him up on social media and tell him what your biggest takeaway was. And make sure you share this episode with your friends and following if you think they're going to find value in it too. Thank you again, John. We appreciate you. And hopefully I get a chance to see you for at least a second at Crop just to shoot the shit and say what's up in person. All right, again, thank you, John. Go blow them up. We appreciate you. And if you're looking to ask questions, you know, kind of get a shout out on a show like this, get your questions out there to directly to your design heroes, or you're just searching for some type of community, then please go and join the private Facebook community, The Perspective Dash Collective. It's free. It's a global content creator family of people all over the world sharing their resources, sharing feedback. Pretty much, it's just an awesome place for you to come and hang out and get around like-minded people who are doing cool shit such as yourself. And again, that's over at The Perspective Dash Collective on Facebook. We would love to have you be a part of this movement. And if you're finding value in the show in general and it's helped you along your creative grind, there are two ways that you can support and give back. And the first is by backing the show on Patreon over at patreon.com/perspectivepodcast, like my friends and family over at Iron Bean Coffee Company did. With as little as much as your weekly cup of coffee, you can make a difference in supporting the growth of this show. Or there's certain tiers where you can donate per episode, and that'll get you a shout out on each episode like Iron Bean Coffee Company does. So also, the second way to support the show is by subscribing and leaving a rating and review over an Apple Podcast or iTunes, whatever platform you're on that's easiest. Not only does this help me get to my goal of climbing up the charts, becoming a top 10 design arts podcast by the end of 2020, but it allows me to return the love and give you a public thank you like this week's listener of the week. This one comes from blah blah with a ton of numbers behind it. I'm not going to read all those numbers. I respect your time. They title this one "A Staple in My Daily Routine," and this one's from Canada. They state, "Love listening to Scotty interview his guest. He has a real skill to summarize what anyone is saying in an eloquent way that always speaks directly to the listener." Awesome. I love that. "I listen every time I drive, whether it's 5 minutes or 3 hours. I also like the balance of guests for Scotty's own solo episodes, each packed with tons of value. Keep it up, Scotty. There are many of us that benefit from your hustling at all hours of the day. Much love, Sam." Sam, I am. Thank you so much all the way from my northerly neighbor of Canada. I appreciate the hell out of you for taking the time to write that. And if you're going to leave a review, you know, tuck in your Instagram profile, your YouTube handle or something so I can give you an actual shout out directly. That'd be awesome. And as I sign off, I got to give a huge thank you to my executive assistant, Paige Garland, my video specialist, Colton Bacher, my editor all the way from Ireland, Anya Brennan, and the shout out to the homie Nick Jenkins of Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on the show. You can find more of his music and listen to support him over at SoundCloud, Spotify, and Instagram at Bluka. That's B-L-O-O-K-A-H. And as you finish off your week strong, I want to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.